We'd like to welcome all of our Foundational Faith family and also Destiny Bible College as we take up chapter 10 of our study of the book of Daniel. Now, I'm going to start off a little bit different today as we approach this lesson. I want you to turn with me if you have the syllabus and the text or the textbook. And if you don't, I hope that you'll listen and be able to enjoy the information there. And if you do have any interest in Destiny Bible College, you can contact us. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions or refer you where you need to inquire further. I want to go to page 278 in the textbook, and I want to look at the five questions, the five study questions. And I know we normally do this at the end of the lesson. I want to remind all of our students that they are to be typeset, the question or themselves, and also the answers. But as we do the study, if you have not done these questions yet in your time of study, maybe this will help you as we begin to teach the material. Okay, the first question on page 278 in the textbook is, should we believe the things in this vision and why? So it's kind of a multiple there of question. And then second, what does this chapter tell us about prayer? Then number three, was Daniel's meeting with angels a glorious experience? What happened to him? And then number four, what does this chapter teach us about angels? And then question five, what does this chapter tell us about evil spirits? Now, we're going to be discussing some of these areas of these points that are brought up in these questions. Now, on page 265 of your textbook and then on page 65 of your syllabus, if you're following, we may not give all the time to the syllabus, but do listen for the answers as we go through the study today. Now, on page 265 of the textbook, chapter 10 of the book of Daniel is where we're dealing with particularly, but also this is going to be somewhat like an introduction to the vision of the Anointed One, and chapters 10 through 12 of Daniel are all one vision. But at this setting, we're going to deal with chapter 10. So with this, let's take in consideration that there is going to be the emphasis of demonic warfare, working in the supernatural and these particular things. Now, with the fact that this will be discussing part of the vision of the Anointed One, four things we want to take in consideration. This is the last and the longest of Daniel's visions. Then secondly, chapter 10 can be considered an introduction to the vision, and we've already stated that, because as you continue to go through chapter 11 and 12, we're getting the in-depthness of the vision and then the conclusion of the vision. So again, number one, this is the last and longest of Daniel's visions. Secondly, chapter 10 can be considered an introduction to the vision. And thirdly, chapter 11, the vision itself. And then we find in chapter 12 is an epilogue that's given us a summary or a closure. Or a postscript. And if you recall what a postscript is, it's like putting the PS on a letter that you write. It would be additional remarks. Excuse me. Now, many of the verses in these three chapters concern the unseen spiritual world. And we know that the Bible itself teaches, even though this might be an area that we haven't done some study as a student, but there again, there has to be an understanding. The Bible does teach us of the fact that there is falling angels, there's demonic spirit, there is spiritual warfare. And we cannot go without saying that there is a concern of the spiritual work in the world today, that of fallen angels and demonic spirit and these things in the spirit world that may look unseen. And I definitely agree with the writer of our text that there's things in history we can go back and look at, and we definitely know there had to be, and there was, and there is a spirit world emphasis. There is the working of that of the enemy. And even our writer of our text says, how else can we explain World War I, the Holocaust, Satan worship, Satan worship, witchcraft, and other horrors? And so there's a lot of things that we can look back, and we could even go back to the period of Antiochus Epiphanes, or the fourth Antiochus, and when he was a forerunner example of the Antichrist, when he, in the Maccabees period, and he defiles the temple and the destruction there. So, excuse me. As we move on, let's look at the fact of the time and the subject. We're given a date or a timing. Now, what we want to look at is the fact that this vision would have been with that of probably around somewhere roughly 5 years after the Mede-Persians had taken over. Now, we understand that Belshazzar, that was the king of Babylon, the last reigning king, when the Medes and Persians came, this would have taken place around 539 BC. And we understand that Darius only took the kingdom for 2 years before he died, and Cyrus became the king of the Mede-Persian rule. And so we understand that approximately 5 years have developed here, because we understand that this would have took place in the third year of that of the reign of Cyrus. This vision. So in chapter 10 of the book of Daniel, it tells us now, now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris. Now, that's verse number 4 of Daniel chapter number 10. With that being said, we understand that we are talking about spiritual warfare in the spirit, and this is going to be in reference to what Daniel begins to visualize and see. One thing that I think that would be interesting that we need to realize is that not only was it the time and the subject that we see in verse number 1 was that verse 1 says in the third year. So that's where I was giving the reference to the total of 5 years has expired because of the 2 years of Darius, and then now it being the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. This message is revealed to Daniel. This is the scripture itself, whose name was called Belteshazzar. So that's his Babylonian name still. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. So three things we see about the message was it was true. There's a time factor. It's future being developed. And then there is the fact that Daniel is to understand what is being presented to him. One of the things that I think is interesting is how that Daniel, even through his life, and now he was pushing his 80s here, or late 80s or 80s, how that Daniel had continued to grow. And we need to grow beyond that of being born again. We need to grow in our relationship with God, and we're exhorted by the apostles. We're exhorted even by Paul that we're to increase in our knowledge. Peter encourages to grow in grace and in knowledge, and that we should add to our faith. So, you know, I think it can be well said, even that's mentioned in our syllabus, not our syllabus, but per se, but in our text, that Daniel probably was one of the most godly young people that ever lived, And that's worth, you know, giving reference to. Now, with that being said, our textbook gives us some things to think about Daniel's growth as a man of God. And I want to mention these because I think that it gives us a review back of some of the things about the time of Daniel's life and in the settings of these kings that he has served under. And definitely when they went into the Babylonian captivity at such a young age. On page 266, it tells you Daniel's growth as a man of God. It talks about the events. The first one is from Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 19. We won't take the time to read the scriptures, but we encourage you to go back and look at this. Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the future, but only after he received the answer in a vision. So, we can see how that he received the answer in a vision. So you're going to see the growth, how these things develop as he continues to have these visions and these visits. So number two, or the second one, would be Daniel interpreted a later dream about the future for Nebuchadnezzar, but he didn't need a vision of any kind. That's verse number 19 of the fourth chapter. So the first, he had a vision. The second time, he didn't need a vision of any kind to make the interpretation. Then thirdly, Daniel started having his own dreams and visions about the future. And that begins to develop in the seventh chapter, verse 1. And then next is Daniel was transported from Babylon to Shushan in a vision. And that's Daniel chapter number 8. And we understand the vision there was of the goat and the ram. The next would be Daniel was visited by the angel Gabriel. So we began to see this transition in his growth as a man of God from visions to God giving him the interpretation without a vision. Then God giving him visions, and then even him being transported to where he needed to be at the moment of a vision, and then how that he begins to have these visits from that of holy ones or angels, supernatural. Daniel was visited by the angel. That's the next one, and that would have been Gabriel. And that's verse number 21 of the ninth chapter. And then lastly, in this chart about Daniel's growth, Daniel was visited by the post-incarnated Christ. And that would be chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Now, I may get ahead of myself here with this. This is the most appropriate thought of understanding about the visit that he has. And we'll talk more about that in reference to the anointed one. Excuse me. Let's talk about the 21 days for a moment. In Daniel chapter 10, in verse number 2, in those days, and he identifies himself here, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So we get the understanding that this was 21 days. So Daniel was in this mourning, and not only was he mourning, but he also was fasting. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. What we find here is the reasons possibly for his mourning. First of all, it's believed that he possibly was in this state of mourning these 3 weeks. We do know that he was praying in this time because he was fasting. But it could have been because only a small number of his people returned home after being released from captivity in Babylon. So we began to have this transition where there are those that are going back, being released after the 70 years, and there may have been such a small number. And of course, we know that they went back in that of three parts or three times. So number two would be others think it was because those who did return home were having a difficult time, and we know they were. We even understand that when we get into the time frame of all this restoration of Jerusalem by the time of Nehemiah, which would be a little more period of time ahead of us here, getting into the 400 BCs, we find that even Nehemiah, as the cupbearer for the king, he was distressed. The king realized it. And then, of course, we understand that Nehemiah wanted to return to even help assist build the walls, and they were built in 52 days. And all right, number three, actually, it appears that he was mourning because he was trying to understand this war in the spiritual world. And let's look at verse number 12 for a moment. It says in verse number chapter 10, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Now, we understand that with what's being stated here is possibly part of Daniel's condition, the mourning could have been to understand what's going on in this spiritual battle. And I don't know about you, but, you know, it can be discouraging. And especially if we've set ourselves aside to fast and spend some time with God and to excuse ourselves maybe from affairs or food or activities or however that fast is being carried out, with that of taking time to pray, and we're not seeing any effects, we're not seeing any thing happening, we it seems as if our prayers are not being answered, there's no breakthrough. And so we said all that to say this could be definitely one of these three or all of these three items that we have mentioned here that have a play in this particular situation with Daniel's mourning. Verse number three tells us that he ate no pleasant foods. So we got an understanding here that this could have been a partial fast. This may have not been where he, or it doesn't look like that he totally took a fast where he didn't take of any nourishment or food, but any particular foods. He restrained himself from certain foods like meat and then wine or drink or the fruit of the vine. And he says, it did not come into my mouth in verse number three. And Daniel even went to a point that he did not anoint himself at all till the 3 weeks were fulfilled. Now, in our syllabus, it talks about, I believe this is question three, because I think it might be one that we might need to kind of touch on. Daniel mourned for these 3 weeks, maintaining a partial fast during this time. And the writer of our syllabus kind of gives us an understanding of thinking like this. So I wanted to give it to you because it says that in our book, it says, did not anoint his body with oil. Okay, so we see that he did not use any kind of moisturizers or anything to refresh himself. He did not anoint his body with oil. He did not use any perfumes. He really excused himself from any comforts of the flesh. The comforts of the flesh were ignored, and basic needs only were met as Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. Now, I don't want to go into a teaching about fasting per se, but fasting can be orchestrated in many different ways. So if he did not refrain totally from all food or no food at all for 21 days, we understand there was something of his diet that he did change. And I know that there are those that at times will do like a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year, and some would have just maybe even at the time of this recording finished a 21-day fast. And you know a lot of people they don't go 21 days without any food, but they'll take and they'll fast something. They'll fast food or of a particular item, or they'll fast an activity. A few years ago, I actually fasted Facebook for 21 days. Was it difficult? Well, to a point it was, because there was areas of that I use Facebook for, have and still do for ministry. So, you know, that did create a scenario with that, but we made it through it. I recall one time my wife, she says, "I'm going to fast bread for 21 days. Try it." I'll tell you, that was one of the most difficult things for her, even though she spent time with the Lord. But if you, when you began to think about everything that is a bread product, pastries and just bread itself, and wanting to make cornbread. We're cornbread eaters, so you can just imagine. So I just wanted to alliterate that a little bit or mention that. So anyway, we see that there is a date and place the vision took place, and I may have got almost ahead of myself a moment ago. So we know that it was for 21 days, and we know that it was in the reign of Cyrus, and it was in about 5 years of the Mede-Persian Empire being in control, and it would have been in the third year of the reign of Darius. Now, we find that on the 24th day of the first month, and when we look at the Jewish calendar, it's believed that this would have been the month of Nisan, which is the actual first month of the calendar, and it would even line up that that's the same month that we understand of Passover. So there's a reference in your textbook that this could have been April the 24th, 534 BC, when this took place. So we see Daniel's completing his fast. Let me make a reference here to the word Tigris. This is in the New King James Version. There may be translations. As a matter of fact, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I am not mistaken because I'm looking over at my Bible, the King James says the great river, which is Hiddekel, and this is the same river. This is the same river, and this particular, the King James says, would take us back to where there was the four bodies of water in Eden coming out, and of course they all came together. So this, what we're understanding of the Hiddekel, is one of the four rivers that would have been a tributary of water through that of the Garden of Eden. I just wanted to give that in your ear. So if you're seeing two different words for the name of the river, the great river that Daniel mentions. Now, as I stated earlier in the chart with the growth of Daniel as the man of God, the last point in Daniel chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read those out of the King James. It says, And in the 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is the Hiddekel, then verse 5, and I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Now, Uphaz was a place, a location where there was known a lot of gold would have been there, or found, or mined probably. Now, going back to this verse 5, we understand that it's telling us that Daniel lifted up his eyes. So that means when he lifted up his eyes, he looked and he saw something. He beheld, or he beheld. And the wordage there is a certain man. The King James says certain man, and the New American Standard says certain man. Now, I want to make the emphasis here that I think is important. When we see the word certain, it means important or of interest. And even I think we could see this in the Gospels when Jesus spoke of people at time, or the Gospel speaks a certain. If the person's not even named, it's giving an emphasis of the importance of that person. And when we go on with this verse and read it, it says a certain man, or a certain important of interest, is the way I'm going to word it, man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. He looked up, Daniel saw this man, and I want to turn to the book of Revelation, and while I'm finding that, I thought I had marked it in my Bible. I'm still using another Bible at my desk here, so give me one moment. I'm going to be turning to Revelation chapter 1, and I believe I'm going to be looking at verses 13, I believe. Let me make sure I'm at the right place. Yes, okay. In verse 13 of the first chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps, and a golden girdle around his waist, his head and his hairs were white as wool, white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Look at verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, that's interesting because we're seeing a similarity of whom is being identified there, which would have been Jesus in the book of Revelation. Now, in that chart that I started to mention, I think I left it with a thought that I ran with in that of the growth of Daniel. It says Daniel was visited by the post-incarnated Christ. Yes, I did. I didn't mention that because I went to the scriptures there in Daniel 10, verses 4 and 5. So most have the tendency to believe, and I'm going to go with that, that he saw Christ here, that Christ himself appeared to Daniel. That's the certain man that was clothed in this particular that's been mentioned. Okay, and let's just take in consideration a couple other times that we can see how that even when Aaron was ordained to be the high priest, there was a sash placed around his waist. Also, even John the apostle, he had Jesus, our high priest, appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, and we saw that in verses 13 through 16 of the first chapter, and he was wearing a gold sash around his chest. I agree that more than possibly, I believe that this was Jesus that Daniel saw. Now, I think something that's interesting here is, even though he may have not understood it, what is interesting, he saw the resurrected Christ. So that's interesting within itself. Okay, let's look at the fact of his features a little bit, because verse number 6 of the 10th chapter of Daniel, I didn't read that just a moment ago, it goes on and it says, his body was like pearl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and a sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. We can see that there was no name called by this man, or Daniel did not call this man by name. His features were similar, as I stated just a moment ago, of the resurrected Lord. His face shined, and this gives us an indication of that of the Shekinah glory of God. Also, there's a reference similar to that of Revelation about the eyes being like a fire. And Daniel 10:6 says torches like fire. This could mean that it speaks of great insight and ability to see everything. It mentions his arms and his feet are like burnished bronze in color, which could represent the symbols of judgment. And he goes on and he talks about the sound of the words like a voice of the multitude. And our writer here in our text tells us that this could remind us of the voice that created everything, the voice of the one who will raise the dead in the rapture. Now think about that. Every time that God created, he said it is good, or he spoke things into existence. And then, of course, it's going to be the voice of the Lord himself that's going to give the decree, come up hither in the rapture. So those are some things to consider in reference to the features that are being discussed that Daniel sees here with this being established of this vision. Okay, God's servant is the coming judge. So let's consider, as we've already looked at these thoughts, this is telling us that he's going to be God's servant is the coming judge. And of course, we know even with Daniel 10 and Revelation 1, these comparisons that we've already spoke of, it gives us this indication of even a coming judge with the way that his feet were, his eyes, his countenance, and these things. I thought this was interesting. And in our writing of our text, Tim LaHaye, and I'm quoting him, it says, if this certain man is indeed Jesus Christ, then a glimpse of the Son of God is benefiting for the last vision given to Daniel, for it is most significant prophecy of the end times. And he's referencing these chapters of Daniel chapter 10 through 12. Now, when Daniel sees this, when Daniel is encountering all this, it has an effect on him. I want to emphasize this, that Daniel had some companions. They are not mentioned who they were. Daniel does not say who's with him. He does mention that they didn't see the vision. Now, we have a similarity to the Apostle Paul when he was on the road to Damascus traveling, that those with him, and of course we understand Paul was blinded. He heard the voice of Jesus himself saying, why do you kick against the pricks persecute me, Paul? There, Paul had a vision of Jesus, but none of his companions saw anything. So the verse of scripture here, verse 7, says, and I Daniel alone saw the vision. He says, there was others with me, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So there was something that takes place, and you know the presence of God is real. If you've ever encountered the presence of God in any aspect, you know what I'm talking about. These companions of Daniel, they did not see what Daniel saw. They did not see the man. They did not see the description that Daniel gives, but they knew something has taken place, and it brought, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So it scared them. They ran and hid. Now, it not only had an effect on those companions of Daniel, it also had an effect on Daniel. Because verse 8 tells us, therefore I was left alone. So here we find Daniel now is in the presence of this that he sees, and he's alone. When I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, so he just totally became weak. Remained in me, he says, no strength, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been so overwhelmed with something that all of a sudden it just totally, the physical, it just drained you. Or the fear from it, it demobilized you. It was like a numbness came over you, no control. Daniel's companions, like I said, had abandoned him. It's thought maybe that Daniel spent some time staring at this great vision alone. And of course, it did have an effect on him to even frighten him. Daniel goes on, and the writer says the lights went out. It's the way he subtitles this. We find that there's further information that we can consider what happened to Daniel in seeing this vision and this certain person. Now, verse number 9 says, yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. It says that apparently that Daniel had to have fallen to the ground. It didn't tell us that Daniel fell to the ground, but it seems that way because he tells us that he hears the words, and while he heard the sound, that he was in a deep sleep, and he was on his face, and his face was to the ground. Didn't say he fell, but we can see that he had to have been laying on the ground. It says that he became pale and weak. I don't know if you've heard it said you just white as a sheet. That phrase that's been given before when somebody is frightened or kind of just all of a sudden taken in something unexpected. He tells us that he heard a voice and he listened. He may have fainted. Some say that he may have fainted or passed out. But he says he fell into a deep sleep with his face to the ground. We may not know all the details, but it would appear that some change came over him to prepare him to receive this vision. Now, we'll give some attention to it as we go through a little bit in just a moment, maybe a little bit more. But as you see the next portion here that we want to look at, Daniel begins to tell us that a hand touched him. Suddenly, he says, a hand touched him. Which made me tremble on my knees and on my palms of my hands. Now, if Daniel was on the ground and his face laid to the ground, it sounds like that maybe even at this point was Daniel. He says that he was touched. Daniel was touched three times, and we'll talk about those as we go through it. This would have been the first time that he was touched, and he says, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. It makes me wonder by this time, he was on the ground. He was in a deep sleep, too weak to move when a hand touched him. If he had made any kind of progression of movement with way it says that, is it possible that he had by that time got on his knees and he was on his knees and palms? If not, it definitely had an effect that he was trembling. His hands was trembling and his knees. So I don't know if you've ever been to that state or seen somebody in that kind of state where, or maybe you felt your own knees feel like they were knocking in the moment of fear. We need to realize that when there is an angelic visit or a supernatural visit, it can appear. It can appear suddenly. It can appear out of nowhere. And we know in the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel that Gabriel had delivered a great message to Daniel. And we know of other times in scriptures that angels appeared and they appeared just suddenly, or they appeared at a particular moment or timing that would have been proper. And some are listed there in your book. We understand that in the book, our textbook doesn't tell us in reference to Abraham, there was visits that Abraham had. We know that had to be supernatural or angelic beings that even had to get Lot out of Sodom. But our textbook talks about that when Jesus was born, angels appeared upon the fields of the shepherds. And then we understand that at the Transfiguration, even Jesus was ministered to by angels when he was tempted. And definitely when the women went back, or definitely Mary Magdalene had a conversation with the angels there at the tomb. So we even see that when Jesus raised from the dead. So those are just some things to consider in reference to that of angels being a part of supernatural workings. Now, there's a passage of scripture that I want to mention that I don't believe it's in our text anywhere. And in just a moment, I'll give that to you. With that being said, I just want to ask a question. Is there anyone that maybe is listening that you know of a time that you definitely believe that you've entertained that of an angel? And I know that there's times that we definitely, I believe there's angels that have been, we've been entertained by angels. They're in our presence unaware. We understand there is a difference in that of demons or the fallen angels than that of, angels that are for God's purpose. And we understand that, angels can appear. We understand that demons, they are seeking to possess something. They're seeking to take a possession of an animal or that of a body. But we find here's a rule of differential with that that's demonic. Demonic wants to be evil. It wants to be that of controlling. It wants to take over. It wants to possess. I think this is a powerful verse of scripture for us as believers, and it gives us some consolation of what God wants for us and what that of the heavenly host or that of the holy ones that has been referenced before in the book of Daniel. In the 14th verse of the first chapter of Hebrews, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So right there we see an understanding how that angels or the host of heaven or God's working working supernatural beings are for the purpose of those that are heirs of salvation. God's redeemed. They're ministering spirits to us. And I think that's interesting. I want to look at a note that I have in a Bible that I have, and let me give some credit to this. This is the Life Application, the King James Version, that's printed by Tyndall Publishing out of Wheaton, Illinois. Now, the note here for verse 14 says, angels are God's messengers, spiritual beings created by God and under His authority. He gives a scripture here, Colossians 1:16. They have several functions serving believers, and we can see that in the passage of scripture that we just read in Hebrews 1:14. Protecting the helpless. You can look at that at Matthew 18:10, verses 11 also. Proclaiming God's message, Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. And executing God's judgment, Acts 12, 1 through 23. Then Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. And that even brings us into that of the judgment of even Lucifer. And I would even want to relate, and I'm not going there to read that scripture, but those of the false prophet and the Antichrist, or that ungodly trio, and Satan himself. So we see the purpose of the holy, or God's angels. And I just wanted to insert that because I think that's important. Now, in this passage of scripture, we see, as we continue in verse number 11, and he said unto me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. So, let me read the scripture again. I lost my thought. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. So the first thing I want us to see is the angel that's here. He says that Daniel is greatly loved. This was a repeat of what the angel Gabriel said in chapter 9. That's a word of, remember in scripture, we find where the angel of the Lord or angels would come and they'd say, fear not. Just think, this is a comfort to Daniel. He's already on his on the ground. He's trembling. And it says, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. So this angel is saying, you are going to understand. And he tells Daniel to stand upright. And while he does, He said, I have been sent. I have now been sent to you. So he's telling Daniel that he's been sent to give him a message, to speak to him. And while he was speaking this word, I stood trembling. So Daniel's still in a state of being troubled in some aspect, or the reverence and the fear. But we see that the angel urges Daniel to make a special effort to understand what he was about to reveal. And I like to say it like this. The angel tells him, understand the words that I speak to you. He's speaking in a way, understand them, Daniel. And it's that we are going to say, okay, he's going to understand it. He told Daniel to stand up. He explained the reason he had appeared was because he had been sent. Been sent. It is not said who sent him, but it is probably the man Jesus whom Daniel had seen. We see that Daniel obeyed. He got to his feet, even though he still in the natural was shaking. In the natural. Now, we see this angel, and some have the tendency to believe that this was more than likely Michael the archangel. One thing that I want to interject here is that Michael is a protector of Israel. And of course, we know that Daniel is going to begin to receive instruction about things that are to come in this revelation or this vision, and what we are going to see even in the 11th and 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Now, Henry H. Halley says this in this chapter, they, or talking of the angels, are represented as being interested in the destiny of Israel. In Revelation, the destiny of the church, in Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9, Michael and his angels are in war with Satan and his angels. In Ephesians 6, 12, powers of the unseen world are the chief enemies against which Christians have to fight. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit in just a moment in reference to that of, we know that in Ephesians it talks about that Satan is the prince of the air. Satan wants to control. He wants to domain. But he's on, I like what one minister said, he's like a dog on a chain, and it's short, and his time is short. Now, we must understand that God is using his angelic beings. He's using his ministers for our benefit. Now, with that being said, definitely Michael is the protector of Israel. As we earlier were talking in reference to Michael being a protector of Israel, let's go back to the thought of what was taking place here when this angel speaks to Daniel. He advises him, let's look at verse 12 of the 10th chapter. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, and so to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Now, let's emphasize that God hears his children when they pray. I know there's times that we don't understand why there might be not an answer immediately, but what we definitely see that there was some spiritual warfare going on here during this time that of these 21 days. But the angel assures Daniel that he was heard from the very beginning. Let me just emphasize something, what the writer of our text says on page 272. Daniel had been fasting and praying for 3 weeks, and the angel knew it. He informed Daniel that his prayer was heard the first day Daniel started praying. And that ought to encourage us, again, as believers, that God hears our prayers. Because if we're right in tune with God, because the Bible says the fervent righteous prayer, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we see how that Daniel was asking for understanding concerning the vision or the visions of chapters 7 through 9. And the angel said that providing understanding was the purpose behind his visit. So the angel is going to give him understanding. Now, I thought this was something of interest that we need to understand, that Satan is an interference. We already know that. We know that he's an interference. Billy Graham, and I'm going to quote him, he says, Lucifer, another name, and that's who God created, was Lucifer. But another name for Satan, our arch enemy, controls one of the most powerful and well-oiled war machines in the universe. He controls principalities, powers, and dominions. Every nation, city, village, and individual has felt the hot breath of his evil power. He is already gathering the nations of the world for the last great battle in the war against Christ, Armageddon. Now, we're going to see how that this warring in heaven or in the heavenlies is that of demonic. In verse 13 of the 10th chapter, of Daniel, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now we know that the Mede Persian government is intact. It's the world leader at this time. It conquered Babylon. But listen to what it says. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which stood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, when we look at this, we need to understand that Satan be the prince of the power of the airs, and the interference that he wants to make, and the control and the persuasiveness and the deception that he wants to have in this world, we need to understand what has taken place in history, what's taking place and what's going to take place, is how through even men, through the Antichrist, that Satan is going to use these forces to actually deceive the nations, to have control over the nations. Now, when we look at verse 13, this cannot be talking about a man. It cannot be talking about the prince or the king of Persia, but he's talking about that of the powers of the air. And let's say it another way. Really, what we're beginning to see is how that this angel that had come to Daniel now was being assisted by Michael. And now remember, Michael is a warring angel. And folks, we need to understand that we have an authority through God's word to call for Jehovah Shabbat, which is the warring. That's the name. That's the compound name for God the warrior, or Jehovah the warrior. And of course, Michael the archangel is a warring angel. And he comes to assist this Holy One, or this angel that has come to Daniel, that had been somewhat interrupted in the prayer. The time of Daniel's intercession had been heard from the first day. And so when it's referencing the prince of the kingdom of Persia, we've got to understand that these were the demonic forces that were in the region of that of Persia. Just as we are seeing in the world today, that there is unholy, there is demonic, angelic powers and spirits that are controlling the men's hearts and leaders and nations. That's why it's important that the Word of God says in Psalms about the nation that doesn't forget God, or it says the nation that forgets God will be cast into hell. How that though the nation that's blessed of God, that if God is their God. So what we're saying is we have a responsibility as believers, as we've been exhorted by the Apostle Paul to pray for those that have authority over us. We need to pray for wisdom. Listen, I have even prayed, and some people say, well, no, that ain't gonna work. But I believe God honors the prayers of a righteous person, a person that's praying scripturally. I have actually prayed, God, our leadership, whether it's the president, governor, or senators, congressmen, mayors, whatever level of principality of authority that we're talking about in the natural, even if we know that they are not a believer, or maybe they are not in line with the Word of God, it is our responsibility to pray for them. And I believe, as I have prayed in the past and do pray, God, even if these are unbelievers, let wisdom be given to them that they will make decisions that they may not even understand why they're making the decision that they're making, that will be in the realms of that will bring a more righteous judgment with what needs to be decided. With that being said, we need to understand that there was some warfare, there was some warring in the heavenlies. And we can go and look at what's being said here in our textbook We understand that different angels have different functions. We understand Gabriel is a messenger. We understand that this angel that came to Daniel came to give him a message, and then there's the interruption. But also we can understand, because there was this struggle with the prince, or the demonic of the prince of Persia, that Michael appears as the warring angel, and he fights for Israel in Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Let's look at that. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now, we know that that's part of the vision that Daniel is going to be receiving, that we have the prelude, or we have the introduction here in chapter number 10. We understand that Michael is, again, the warring angel. He's the one that fights for Israel. He will, we understand there's been other places in Scripture that Michael has been referenced. We understand that he actually disputed the enemy, the archangel, the arch enemy is what I'm trying to say, that being Satan, over the body of Moses. And we see that in Jude 1:9. And we also know that he will lead a group of angels. This is in the future, that will, and Satan will be cast and his angels out of heaven. Now, some might say, well, okay, is that referencing something that's already taken place? Well, maybe there is a dual, but there must be some connotation of understanding that there is a future tense of this, that angels are going to be cast down with Satan out of heaven, them approaching God or his court. But there again, we do understand the exaltation of Satan there in Isaiah chapter 14, and also I believe Ezekiel 14, where we see the five eyes, and him exalting himself to be God, and he's cast down, he's cast out of heaven. I have no doubt to believe that Michael came into a play there with that. But there again, Isaiah 14 verses 12 through 17, if you want to read those. Let's look at what the Nelson Study Bible, I'm going to quote this, that's in your textbook. "The prince of the kingdom of Persia cannot be a human ruler, because the conflict referred to here is the spiritual heavenly realm of the allusion to Michael makes clear. The prince, therefore, must be understood as a satanic figure who has to supervise the affairs of Persia, inspiring its religious, social, and political structures to the work of, or works of evil." Now, folks, I want you for just a moment, and I know we've got some listeners that are in other nations, Germany, Russia, for just naming a few, France, and Canada, some other places. That's why, if you're a believer, that you need to be praying over your government, over your nation, as I've already said, because the forces of just of the satanic that would have been referenced here, that of the affairs of Persia, inspiring its religious, its social, its political structures to the works of evil. What do you think's taking place in America? What do you think's taking place in the agendas that's going into the very fiber of our Congress and our Senate and our state legislatures and these places of authority? We need to realize that there is a satanic force, there is a satanic working behind this. So that's why our responsibility as believers, no matter what nationality or country you live in, you need to be praying for your leaders. The Bible teaches that the present world is evil, and there is a ruler called the prince of the power, and that's what we were discussing earlier. And we can find in that of Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about some of that, influence of the prince of the power of the air influencing people to sin. He is also called the God of this age, and we know that to be Satan, he who is blinding those who refuse to accept Christ. So we see that there is a wicked personality operating behind the scenes to cause sin and unbelief. Okay, let's change course a little bit. Let's talk about Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Now, our writer of our text, he kind of gives the subtitle, The Target. There's two things that are mentioned here that I think they're important that helps us here with this, with what's been stated in this passage of Scripture, verse number 14. This is definitely the key verse in this chapter because we see that from it we learn that what follows in chapter 10 through 12, and it concerns these two things that are listed. First of all, the angel here is telling Daniel, your people, means Daniel's people, or it means the nation of Israel. And also, this is future tense. Now, when we look at the emphasis of the prophecy or the speaking of it, we will see that this was definitely unknown to Daniel, what was to come. Okay, we don't need to overlook this. The next chapter, and talking about chapter 11, reveals events concerning Israel during this Medo-Persian Empire and then the Greek Empire. But these events are pictures or types of events that will take place in the latter days of the end of age. So we see that what's going to come out of this message or this vision that we're going to see in the upcoming chapters is this, that's future tense in what's to come, even toward the latter part of fulfilling that last week of time. Now, we know that Daniel was at a place during part of this that he couldn't talk. Verse 15 says, when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. The angel is going to begin to reveal things to Daniel. So with that being said, we understand that Daniel has already been touched one time. So we see that there was three times he was touched. And then we find here in verse number 16, and suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. Daniel's telling us here that he was touched, and of course his lips were touched. Prior to that, he couldn't speak, and I'm reminded how that God had to even touch Isaiah. He had to touch Jeremiah. We understand that how that Zechariah, his tongue had to be loosed. These are things that I think of, but when he says the likeness of the sons of men, this was an angelic, this was that touched his lips, and I opened my mouth, and Daniel says, I began to speak. We're dealing with the spirit world here, and so we need to realize that when we look at the spiritual realm, there's Jesus, there's angels, there's seraphims, there's cherubims, there's archangels, and we could go on with some other things here. So when Daniel was touched this time, it was for the ability for his lips to be loosed, or even, let's say, his tongue to be opened, that he might speak, because he could not speak before he had become speechless. And I don't know if you've ever been so fearful or overwhelmed by something that you could not even speak. It took your voice. It took your inability to that moment of being unable to speak. let's let's read this. I thought this might be something to consider. Dr. M.R. Dehan said, "It is well for us to remember that round about us in the atmosphere, observing our behavior and conduct, and standing ready to help those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ are great myriads of angelical beings. It is our ignorance of their existence that causes us untold trouble and loss of much joy and happiness." So as a believer, if we're unlearned, if we're untaught about that of angelology or the work of the ministry of the angels, we happen to suffer possibly the loss of joy and happiness and actually God using them to minister in our lives. If we could understand better the teaching of the scripture concerning the ministry of angels in our own personal and individual life, it would bring us untold comfort. Then we find that Daniel is giving the emphasis of how that he was weak and he was out of breath in verse number 17. And then we find that he was touched. Well, actually, he says he had no strength and it was like he was breathless. Oliver B. Green, he's another great teacher. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He makes a statement here, and I'm going to quote him. "Think of that. Daniel had spent the night with lions. He had faced Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and all the other without fear and trembling. But now the vision he had seen struck him dumb and took away all his strength." So this was overwhelming what took place with Daniel. And of course, the second time that he's touched, it looses his lips that he can speak. Then the third time, we find he's touched a third time. And it says in verse number 18, "Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me." That's verse number 18. So the first touch strengthened Daniel a little and left him trembling on his hands and knees. As I stated earlier, he probably at least had got up on his hands and knees from that of being laying down. Then the second touch enabled him to speak. And then the third touch energized him with even more strength. So it took these three incidents to happen where he was touched. And we see this, that I believe that it was a ministering spirit of that of the holiness of God that came to Daniel's assistance here. Again, we find the importance of verse 19 of what's being said about Daniel, that God loves him, or old man greatly beloved. And the representative here, the Holy One, is telling him not to fear. He's telling him peace. He's giving him the word to be strong. Excuse me. And he goes and emphasizes with an affirmative, which is a yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." So we find the angel speaks what's going to happen. Then we see that Daniel speaks what he expects and that it happens. So he confirms, "Lord, what you're speaking, it's mine, for you have strengthened me." So then we begin to see how this chapter is going to begin to move to give us some understanding of the importance of the Word of God. It's going to give us an understanding of what's going to take place in the next parts of this teaching. The subtitle here is a Time Yet to Come. Verse 20 says, "Then he said, 'Do you know why I have come to you?'" So he's asked the question, Daniel is, "And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come." So now, even though Daniel did not live to see the Greeks conquer the Mede Persians, we understand that he is now getting word from a heavenly messenger that indeed the Prince of Greece will come. Now, this is already past tense. It has been fulfilled. But at this moment, this was a prophetic word to Daniel that had not taken place. So therefore, we can say that this latter part of verse 20 is not only a future prophetic, it now is a prophetic historical point that has come about and taken place. The heavenly being asked Daniel the question, but did not wait for an answer. He asked him, if you remember, he said, "Do you know why I have come to you?" And he did not wait for Daniel to respond. He told him what his mission was, that what he had to do. He told him in this passage of scripture, verse number 20, the angel told him, he says, "Now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia." In other words, he had appeared to Daniel for the express purpose of delivering a message, but he needed to return to the heavenlies because there was a spiritual war going on that required his involvement. The prince of Persia, evil spirit in charge of Persia, needed to be opposed, but when he went back to oppose, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, evil spirit in charge of Greece would move in and take over. So here's what is going on, this transition, even in the spiritual realm of one spirit we see now is coming with that of the movement of Greece, which is being moved by an evil spirit, the motivation of satanic. So we see how that he goes on and he says, overcoming the prince of Persia, to allow the heavenly being to get through wasn't the end of the matter. All right, I'm going to pause just a second. Thank the Lord for water. The Bible doesn't teach that there are evil spirits in charge of nations on earth. Not only that it does, I'm sorry, I didn't read that right. It also teaches that evil spirits can possess people. And I think some examples from history that we can see that definitely that affected, and it was the force of that of the prince of powers of the air, would have been individuals, even in history, that we can see Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, and there's many, many others. And then, of course, that's what's going to happen to the Antichrist. He's going to be, full of the devil, full of Lucifer. So that's where he will get his authority to overtake the world with government. Okay, again, we see the emphasis of historical, what's historical now, but what was prophetic. The Medes and the Persians defeated Babylon. Darius the Mede, the short horn on the ram with two horns, took over and was followed by Cyrus, which was the king of Persia. The long horn, 2 years later. But Alexander the Great of Greece was the male goat, remember in the 9th chapter. These events have already happened, but at that moment they were being prophesied. These are historical prophecies that have taken place. And the things to notice is that these events followed the sequence given in Scripture. So we see where God gave them to Daniel. We see even in the book of Daniel, we could rehearse how through the Babylonian, the Mede, Persian, now the Greek is coming into effect. They also show that angels such as Michael may have been involved in the fall of Babylon and the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. And furthermore, behind every prophecy, there may be a host of angels assigned to see that it gets fulfilled the way the Word of God predicts. Now, you know, it's interesting that we must at times be reminded that Jesus is not just the Word of God. that came in flesh. But we need to realize that he spoke the word of God. And in Daniel 10:21, it says, "But I will tell you what is noted in Scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." Now, the angel came and he began to explain what will happen to the Jews in the future. That's what we are going to begin to see. This heavenly being informed Daniel that he would tell Daniel what has already been recorded about the future in God's heavenly scriptures. Remember, God's word is forever settled in heaven. The revelation will come in chapters 11 and 12, so we'll see some things begin to unfold in those next two chapters of the book of Daniel. But as we wait to get there, the messenger wanted Daniel to know that no one was helping him fight the prince of Persia or Greece except Michael. So we see again the emphasis of Michael, your prince, is Daniel's prince, and it identifies Michael as the angel or prince that God has placed in charge of Israel. And I'll reemphasize that Michael, the archangel, is the warrior for Israel. He's the defender of Israel. And so we understand that this is the same angel that assisted, who helped in the heavenlies, get through with the answer to Daniel's prayer because there was a holdup. And let's reemphasize some things about the scripture, how important the scripture is. The Bible itself is the scripture of truth, and we know that it's the greatest word or greatest book that's ever been written. Our writer or our author of our text tells us that the word of God has been published in more than 600 different languages and dialects, and that there is probably more than 100 billion copies in print, and it weathered attacks in every generation and on every continent. And if you do any study or have done any study, how we obtained the word of God and how that it was kept so that we have the word of God today. I have several Bibles in my library, and every one of them have a place of importance. Some of them are different translations, but I even have my first Bible that I was given when I was between 6 and 7 years old after carrying a little New Testament for years in my earlier life. And that Bible lays over there, and I still have it that my mother and dad gave me. But what I'm trying to say is the Word of God itself is precious, whether it's old, whether it's worn, whatever. We understand that the Scriptures has weathered attacks through the years. Matter of fact, even some of those that have gave their life, John Huss and then, of course, Tyndale, and others through history that we could elaborate on, and maybe sometime in church history we can elaborate a little more on some of those things. So we understand or need to understand how it is time now for people to understand that the Bible has a heavenly origin and a heavenly or supernatural protection. The Word of God is your protection. It is a sword of the Spirit. Remember that. Even in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, we are given our armor. The sword that's mentioned there is not our armor. It is our weapon. It is a two-edged sword. It is the Word of God. The only other thing that we have that's there is our communication. Behind the lines and in front, there is the possibility of some radio communication in wartime. We have a means of communication through prayer. Prayer is not a weapon. Prayer is part of our equipment. It is part of us being able to communicate with headquarters, and that would be God Himself. With all this said, Daniel is setting the course through what he has entertained through this fasting, through this time of trouble and needing to be touched three times to bring him back to strength, to be able to even speak. Michael interceding here, intervening. It brings us to the place that we will see that Daniel will begin to hear what's going to take place of past pictures of future events when we get into the 11th chapter of and the 12th chapter of our study. Now, I want us to look at our wrap up on page 278. And I hope that you've took time to listen for things that need to be in your syllabus. I haven't talked about some of that, but I want to encourage you. There's only a couple pages of your syllabus, and I don't mind going over those for just a moment, those that I feel like that you might need some assistance. I know we did number three. Number one, it says, and this is on page 65 of your syllabus, it says, the Bible plainly teaches that fallen angels and demonic spirits are real and must be faced. So your words there that needs to be filled in are, the Bible plainly teaches that fallen, the next word would be angels, and then demonic and spirits are real and must be faced. Number two is supernatural. So about 5 years after the fall of Babylon, Daniel received a vision concerning a great war, which was supernatural in nature. And that's what we've been talking about in reference to that of Michael coming to intercede and assist the angel that came to speak to Daniel. Okay, I believe we did number three, but it should be, A should be lotions, did not anoint his body with oil, did not use perfumes. And then, of course, what you have there in your syllabus talks about that the comforts of the flesh were ignored and basic needs only were met as Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. And so that's during the time of his fasting or this partial fast. Number four should be Daniel saw a man clothed in linen and had a belt of fine gold around, so the word gold, around his waist. And then, as we stated earlier, experts feel that Daniel most likely saw Jesus. He is the one that's being mentioned there based on the appearance of Jesus as he appeared to John. And, of course, that's given the scripture there in Revelation chapter number 1, verses 13 through 16. And we went over on page 269, and I'm not going to review that again, comparison of God's servant in Daniel 10 and Revelation chapter 1. You may want to look at that again on page 269 if you need to. Then number 6 is Daniel's 10:7. Gives the analogy of that between the Apostle Paul having a similar experience, but it's talking about that Daniel himself was the only one that saw the vision when the angel came to him. And of course, his companions, they were frightened and fled. But the word there should be, in number 6, would be the Apostle Paul had a similar experience on the road to Damascus, where his companion saw nothing. Then number 7, there's an A and B. It should be Daniel's words had been heard the first day he started praying. So we understand that there was this interception or this interference that was demonic. But the angel said that Daniel's prayer was heard the first day. Then B, the angel said that Daniel had asked for understanding, and that was why he had come to him. Okay, then number 8 should be 21 days. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, or that of supernatural, that of wicked devices, or that of the forces of the enemy, withstood 21 days. Should be A. Then B, one of the chief princes, Michael, which is whom we've been speaking of, came to help. Then number 9, two angels have been mentioned, and each has a significant or have a different purpose. Gabriel, his purpose is to deliver a message. Michael's purpose was to serve as a war angel. Again, I'll emphasize he's the protector of Israel. Number 10, the angel told Daniel that he had come to make him understand what would happen to your people. The term your people means, it means the nation of Israel, and also it was talking about that of the future. The future. So there's your A and B of number 10. Number 11, Daniel 10, verses 16 and 17, is speaking again about he was unable to speak. He had no strength. We see that he was touched three times. Let's talk about those three things. That's what the emphasis of A, B, and C are. The first touch strengthened Daniel, but it left him trembling on his hands and knees. And then the second touch was it enabled him to speak. Remember, his lips was touched. Then the third touch energized him with even more strength. And then number 12, our last of that in your syllabus, the angel left Daniel after simply delivering the message that he had come to give Daniel understanding. He left Daniel, and the reason he left is in verse number 20, in order to return to fight with the prince of Persia. So this angel left to give assistance in the warfare and that of the principalities of the air. So keep those things in mind. In our wrap-up on page 278 of your text, bullet point one, during the third year of the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, Daniel was fasting and praying when he received a message. He had gone without choice food. He made choices of what he was not going to eat. Of course, it says meat, fruit of the vine, and lotions for 21 days. He didn't even anoint himself. He only done what was necessary. So you can look at that verses 1 through 4 again if you need to of chapter 10. Then bullet point two, while standing at the Tigris River, Daniel looked up and saw a vision of someone believed to be Jesus, the anointed one. Daniel's companions did not see the vision, but something scared them into running and hiding. That's verses 5 through 10. Now we're talking about Daniel 10, so it's verses 5 through 7. Daniel, this is bullet point, the third bullet point. Daniel became weak, turned pale, and was helpless. He fell to the ground in a deep sleep. Now, I know we're repeating ourselves, but I want you to follow up on this. And those would be verses 8 and 9. The hand of a heavenly being touched Daniel, putting him on his hands and knees and causing him to tremble. A voice told Daniel to stand up and listen. The voice assured Daniel that God heard his prayer. And I can't emphasize enough that God hears the fervent prayer of a righteous man. A voice told Daniel to stand up and listen. The voice assured Daniel that God heard his prayer and sent an answer. But the prince, which was an evil spirit in charge of the kingdom of Persia, detained him. The angel of Michael helped the heavenly being get past the evil spirit. That's in verses 10 through 14. Just think, here Daniel is in the Persian Mede government, and of course it would be the spirit. It would be the wicked spirit of Persia that's wanting to oversee and be a dominating spirit over the Persia would be the one that is making this interference. Then the last bullet point, Daniel couldn't talk until someone touched his lips. Then he told the heavenly being he was in anguish, helpless, and having trouble breathing. The heavenly being assured him that he was highly esteemed, wished him peace, and strengthened him. He didn't leave him till he was strengthened. Now, again, at the beginning, we emphasized the questions. I'm not going to go back over the study questions on page 278, but I do want to encourage you to please remember to typeset them, typeset your answers. Be sure that you put your name typed, your student ID number, the date that you have done these questions, and what chapter that it is. And I hope that this has been a help, a blessing, and we will be coming back to Daniel chapter number 11 very soon, and that will be on past pictures of future events. God bless you.